Thank you for taking the time to listen to the Well Church Satterton's podcast. We pray that you enjoy this message and that it creates a well of hope in your life today.
Wash away that guilt, that shame, Lord God. Because you have given me authority as your daughter, Lord God, to shift and change the atmosphere around me, Lord God. You have given me that authority, Lord. And in that weakness, Lord God, you are strong. You are strong. That's when kingdoms can come down, Lord. So we just lay ourselves down. And we say, you are strong. And we are capable to be used by you, Lord God. In the midst of what we think is crazy, Lord, you are capable to use us, Lord God. And you will use us, Lord God. And that will not stop us. That will not stop us from reaching out and shifting other people's lives for you, Lord God. Because you are the great physician, and your source is endless, Lord God. And we are tapped into that source because we are your children. We are your children. And my Jesus' blood doesn't flow in vain, doesn't flow in vain. My daddy's love will never change, his love will never change. All confusion has to leave. The enemy has to leave. All depression. Saying to us, run to me, run to me. I want you, I want you, I want you to run to me. Don't let all of that that's been holding you down stop you. Just run to me. I have it covered, I have it covered. You are covered, you are covered. My love covers all. My love is covering you. My love is covering you. You are covered in Jesus' name. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. I feel like the Lord is doing something, and it might not have come fully, but the Lord's doing a breaking. And it's a type of breaking anointing where he's going to crush walls that have been put up. And a lot of times it feels uncomfortable when there's a breaking. But there's power in it because it's from the Lord, and it's a safe thing when the Lord does it. When it's from the Lord, it's a safe thing. So Lord, we let you in to break through and just start a healing, in every single one of our hearts. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Just say amen.
I just believe that the Lord is saying that as we allow ourselves to be vulnerable in Him, that He will break down walls that we have created and establish the walls that He desires to protect us from the outside.
Yes.
So that we don't have anything to be fearful of.
Amen. Tiffany, was the Lord showing you anything that you want to share?
Yeah, but I don't know what it was. I saw a river, like a winding river, mm-hmm. and it was interesting because there was a hole, like there were rafts on it, and we were all on the rafts.
Mm, that's freaking
down
awesome.
The river flowing, all together, kind of in a train. I don't know what that is.
But. Well, that's so encouraging because when we're all in the flow together, that's a unity. That's powerful. That's powerful. And that's really confirming because the Lord has showed me rivers here. Like, the river is already here. And we just need to learn how to get into that flow and just step into it and not be afraid to step into it. And it's okay if there's mess because we're all practicing the presence. It's just a practicing the presence. And the more we do it, the more it becomes something we're used to stepping out in. So, Lord, just, Holy Spirit, thank you so much for how you're bringing us all together in the prophetic, also just in your spirit. And we just say yes to more and yes to what you want to keep on doing in this place, Lord. Thank you so much, Lord, for that. All right. I'm so grateful for all of you to be here. I was in the car praying before I got here, and I just felt like the Lord was really sharing that every single person in here is integral, and there's something that the Lord wants to do now in each and every one of us in our personal lives that's going to outflow. Because when all the apostles were with Jesus, they had an infilling, and they were filled first. And then they went out. And I know I've said that before, but I really feel like the Lord really wants to do an infilling in every single person here, outflowing to their families. And it's just going to be a natural, just a natural progression that it just comes out. And we're not going to plan it. But the more we just seek him, and it doesn't have to be in big, loud places, but just in the crazy of the moment, just saying, Lord, I want to hear you in this. And this is scary, but if you want me to do what I'm supposed to do, I'm going to step out in it, even though it feels really uncomfortable. That's so precious and important, because that's how the Lord's going to move through us when we're just in that humility and we just really just say, Lord, I trust you. So, Lord, we just say that we trust you. We trust our families, Lord, to you too, Lord God. Lord, you are organizing in the crazy, and you are aligning, and you are directing us step by step by step, and we're just going to take that next step, and we're going to keep on going, and we might fall down, but we're not going to get caught in that, and we're just going to step and step and step. And we are so thankful for your goodness. We are thankful for your healing. It's a now thing. I really feel like the word for today is now. Now. It is now. Thank you, Lord. All right. So I am going to do a quick update. I'm going to do this update first because I feel like it's really important in the moment to share this with you. How many of you guys know who Kate is? Okay. Kate is a missionary, a good friend and a missionary who we have been with through all the stages of this church. She's been with us since the beginning. And she is she ministers over in Brazil with Shores of Grace Ministry, and they rescue trafficked women and children, which is a very extreme ministry that she's been doing for over a decade. And I want to give you an update of what's happening right now. I don't know if all of you know, and for those who are listening on the podcast, there's been some very serious flooding that has happened in Brazil. Hundreds of lives have been lost. A lot has been going on there. And through this whole process, Kate has been displaced from her apartment and is kind of in this weird place of trying to find another apartment that she can afford, but also isn't, that's also safe. So I'm going to read, this is right from her words, an update from her. She gave this to me about 2 days ago. This morning I am forcing myself to write, and I am forcing myself to focus on what God is doing in the midst of what has been a very long, tiring month. I'm going on the third week now of living between Airbnbs with two roommates. As monsoon season hit at the end of April, our apartment took a hit in the floods. We have been shopping for a new place while trying to keep the remainder of our things dry, moving them from room to room at the old apartment where we can no longer sleep there because the ceiling is falling and the mold is too strong. I'd like to say this is the first time I have had this experience. Over the past decade, I have evacuated three other apartments under similar circumstances. This is life here, and still, I am very blessed compared to what others deal with. I've written about monsoon season before, but for those of you who are new, rain presents severe dangers for those in the slums, where flooding is the worst. At times, the slums are so flooded, you have to scale the walls of houses to get through the dirt streets, which look like rivers. The sewage water here is full of parasites. And I just cut out the other stuff she said, but just imagine that. I have been hearing the whispers of God speak to me about something beyond the flooding. I am turning my ear to the promise of baptism and new life, buried with Christ and rising again with him from out of the waters. The old things are past, the new season beginning. So in that midst of all that's happening, she's seeing the Lord, she's hearing the Lord, but I wanted you guys to hear it in her own words, and we're just going to take a really quick moment to just pray over here. So pray right now in this place. So Lord, we just pray right now over Kate. We pray for restoration and provision and on all levels, Lord, over her nervous system, Lord God, over her body, over her stress response, Lord God, over what she's doing externally for others, but also, Lord, provisionally, Lord, for her own well-being. Lord, we just speak that you would provide not only an opportunity to find the right place for her, Lord God, not just settling, but the right place for her, but also the provisions to provide that. Thank you, Lord. And I'm also just going to expound a little bit. If you go over to the wall over there, the missions wall, we have these little cards, and I'm going to actually put this on there for you guys to read. But I want to also give you guys an opportunity to give and sow into what she's doing. Whether it's a small gift, a large gift, you can write her name on the envelope, stick it in the back where the offering is. If you have been feeling a stir in your heart and the Lord's been showing you that you're supposed to give monthly to her, I please ask that you follow through with that. Tiffany in the back is the person you would talk to for that. But then if you're in the middle of the week and you're like, in the moment, the Lord's like, you need to give her, like, I don't know, $20 right now. Like, go over to our website and there's a way to just do it online in the middle of the week when you aren't here. So I'm going to leave that alone there. Also, if you're new here or you've never filled this out, please fill it out. This is our connection card. And the reason we do this is not to inundate you with weekly emails and tell you to do this or that. We don't do that. We are literally just doing it for the practical reason of telling you if there's an event coming and you haven't been at church because you're sick and you don't know what's going on and you want to feel connected. Events, different things we're doing at the church, just a way for you to know what's going on, and then you can be added to our, usually it's monthly newsletter. If there's a special event, we'll probably do it an extra in between maybe, but we're very sporadic with our emails, so you don't have to worry about that. All right, going on to the Gap Ministry. If you guys remember, there was a bunch of stuff that was right over there, and now it's magically gone. So that's because it went over to Keystone, which is up the street, and this is an awesome ministry that Tiffany has kind of, the Lord has put on her heart, and so many others of you have come to be a part of that. So the item of this rotation is diapers and baby wipes, and we as mothers all know how quick we remember when we had our first few weeks. Man, how many diapers a week was it for the first week?
Too many.
I can't even count. When I had my first kid, Jonah, I thought it was important for me to have the expensive ones. What are the expensive ones?
Pampers.
Pampers. Yeah, so I was like, he's just going to be in Pampers. And then I realized that's not reality. So so any diapers that are sold, you can get for the Morningstar Maternity Home, which is so beautiful. They encourage women in life, and when they have those babies, they help and support them along the way with that. Okay, so this next thing is really cool. Men's breakfast. And if you guys are online, did any of you see the bacon on there? There's bacon on there. I saw bacon in the picture, so I don't know if that's going to happen, but bacon was on the picture, and that's happening Saturday, June 18th, here. All right, I want you to remember the time. 8:30 a.m. Okay, so there is a sign-up sheet right over there. Please sign up if you haven't. Also, if you want to bring another friend who's a guy to the breakfast, this is a great way to do that. I think sometimes when we have community events like this, this is the perfect way to bring people along because you're just saying, hey, grabbing free food, come on over, hang out with some other guys, and it's a perfect way to kind of possibly bring people in that have been on your heart. And let us know you are coming by signing up so we know how much food you prepare. All right.
Bacon.
Yes, bacon.
Bacon.
It's all about the bacon. All right, so the next one is, I don't know why I'm showing you guys this, so you can read along.
It's really good, yeah.
Probably can't even read it from there.
I like to think.
Yeah, it's just, okay, so this is highlighted. This is important. See that? Very important.
Can I say something?
Yeah.
Okay, so at the same time.
Oh, no, I'm doing that right now. See? Let me do it. Because I'm excited about it. Okay. I want to talk it up a little, okay? Because
okay.
I'm excited about it. Okay. Swim time. So at the same time, this was smart. I don't know. Who thought of this?
Donna.
Okay, Donna. I like this. Yeah. I like it. So Dave and Donna have graciously opened up their homes to do swim time at their house for the ladies and the children. So while the guys are having bacon and other stuff, the women can go over there. And again, and all... Wait, let me do the details. You can... The food will be provided. Contact Dave or Donna. info@dwelltwell. So we are just siphoning all of the responses to that email, and then we can just filter it and give it to the right people so everyone's not inundated. So info@dwelltwell for anything about Kate, anything about men's breakfast, anything about this. So food is going to be provided. Contact Dave or Donna if you're going to come. And again, this is a great way to bring new people in. To moms who have kids that, and it's crazy and they don't know what to do on Saturdays, say, hey, you want to come swimming? It's going to be free. There's going to be food. You don't have to make lunch this Saturday. I mean, it's a really good way to bring new people in to everything. Okay, and then also, there is a firearm safety training for the ladies, and this will be July 23rd, 5 to 8 p.m. Please let Sarah know. And there's limited space. The cost is $100. And we'll also... do more information on that as well and remind everyone because that's, you know, a little bit further away. We also have online Bible study Thursdays at 8, which is really great. Also for people who aren't able to come or they're sick during that week, step in for the Thursday night Bible study. Then we're going into Proverbs. Okay. How many of you have been reading Proverbs? Okay. I've been laughing at some of these verses, but it's like every verse is its own teaching.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
There is so much in there. So I read it through and I'm going to read it through again, but it's like you could literally do like a proverb a day if it's, you know, pertaining to your life, but there's so many things in there. There's a lot of repeating of different themes that make me laugh and you can see for yourself, but this is if you haven't been reading along with us, this is the perfect book to start this month because it's so interesting. And Proverbs... Verse 1 is a verse that I'm going to read to you guys, and I want you to really listen to it. Here are kingdom revelations, words to live by, and words of wisdom, practical wisdom too, a lot of practical wisdom in there, given to empower you to reign in life, written as proverbs by Israel's King Solomon, David's son. So the word proverb means more than just wise saying. It can also mean to rule, reign, and power, to take dominion. It's learning to think like a son or daughter of God. It's a rewiring. It's taking us into a different place so we see our problems differently because we're taken into a place of wisdom. And at the end of Proverbs, there's this whole thing that I want you guys to really look at that blew my mind. And it talks about how wisdom was there before the earth began. And it goes into all of it. And it just blew me away. And I'm like, wow, there's more to this Lord in this book that I need to learn from. And there's a lot of revelation. And I feel like the Lord's going to show us, each of us, different things and revelations about it. Because it's a really good book. Offering is back there. The basket's back there. And really quickly, we're going to go over these declarations. So I'm gonna have everyone take one, and we're gonna actually go over the kid and family one today, which is 25. And this is one I do with my kids every night now. It makes it so simple. Also, for kids who get a little anxiety at night, I have a lot of that in my house. This is a really great way to say this every night with your kids before bed, and then seal it with a prayer. So that's one perspective. But of course, these can be used for ourselves as well. So we're going to do this together. We're going to do 25 declarations for kids and families to declare together this side, 25. All right, so here we go. And for those of you who are listening, you can also follow along with us. All right, number one, my prayers are powerful.
My prayers are powerful.
God loves to provide for me.
God loves to provide for me.
I am free from sin and alive in Him.
I am free from sin and alive in Him.
My health gets better every day.
My health gets better every day.
God has supernatural protection for me.
God has supernatural protection for me.
I am great at relationships.
I am great at relationships.
And for all of those who are introverts like me, this is a good one to say. Because God is with me, the people around me experience His love and power.
Because God is with me, the people around me experience His love and power.
Because of Jesus, I am loved and blessed.
Because of Jesus, I am loved and blessed.
My family is blessed.
My family is blessed.
My family is blessed.
My family is blessed.
I recognize and laugh at the devil's lies.
I recognize and laugh at the devil's lies.
My words direct my life.
My words direct my life.
God is on my side. I can't be beaten.
God is on my side. I can't be beaten.
I am a leader.
I am a leader.
I have great ideas.
I have great ideas.
God makes me powerful.
God makes me powerful.
When I speak truth, my faith grows and I become who God made me to be.
When I speak truth, my faith grows and I become who God made me to be.
I think right thoughts.
I think right thoughts.
I speak words of life and I make good decisions even when it is tough.
I speak words of life and I make good decisions even when it is tough.
God will use me today to release His power and love to the people around me.
God will use me today to release His power and love to the people around me.
Today will be the best day yet.
Today will be the best day yet.
Because I love Jesus, angels are working for me.
Because I love Jesus, angels are working for me.
Bad things are turned away from me because of Jesus' protection.
Bad things are turned away from me because of Jesus' protection.
I am a person of peace and bring peace to those around me.
I am a person of peace and bring peace to those around me.
I tell tiredness, sadness, and fear to leave in Jesus' name.
I tell tiredness, sadness, and fear to leave in Jesus' name.
This is a blessed day, and I can't wait to see how good God's goodness shows up.
This is a blessed day, and I can't wait to see how God's goodness shows up.
Yes, thank you, Lord. And again, I feel like this is just connecting to what I said earlier, God taking us to a different place. It's like when I first watched those BBC, they weren't mysteries. It was like old English, like Pride and Prejudice, all that. Like when I first watched them, I would be like, what are they saying? I can't understand this. But I liked it because I love anything that's British. So I would just watch it and watch it. And the more I listened to their language and their world, the more I started understanding it. And I know it's a silly way to, you know, show this, but the more we get into the language of heaven and the kingdom, which is opposite of the earth, the more we then actually start to understand it. So at first, you're just reading it like, yeah, okay, right, like this is going to happen for me. But the more we do it, and also as parents take authority and say it with our kids for our kids, it's practicing, the more we're going to start understanding it. And then it's going to be like all of a sudden our eyes shift and we start daydreaming about how the Lord is going to move when we pray over this person, or start dreaming in our dreams about praying for people and seeing them healed. This happens because we're washing ourselves in the Word. We're washing ourselves in the language of heaven in declaring God's words over us.
So good morning.
Good morning.
And we're going to start a little bit repetition there. Last week, Matt did give us the sheets of declarations that we can make to help us change the way we think. And I'm not going to go over them again. But for those that are listening in, I want to make sure that not only were they available here, but they're available on the website, dwellatthewell.com, as a resource in the resource section. So for those that are listening, they can obtain that there. And these declarations, it's not like the idea of name it and claim it, like we're speaking scripture so that it comes to pass. It's not that we're changing God's mind, but rather we're changing our minds. We give ourselves permission to hope. That was Matt's title of his message last week. Giving ourselves permission to hope. Proverbs 18:21 says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue." And we need to start practicing speaking life into our situations and circumstances. In Jeremiah 29:11, God says, "I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." And we need to continually come into agreement with God's plans for our good by declaring his promises for every situation and circumstance in our life. Over the past year or so, as we've walked through different periods of teaching, we've looked quite a bit at Romans 12:2, which says, "Do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." And so these declarations, we transform our mind with God's word, both by reading it and by declaring what it says. And we remember from last week, if you were here or if you listened, if you didn't, then you'll know today that to repent doesn't mean just to change the way we act, but to change the way we think. And as we declare God's word and his will for our lives, we begin to be transformed. We change the way we think. We become aligned to his perfect will, his good plan for our lives. And you know, one thing that I was convicted about as I made these declarations is this, that if we're going to declare something, we better believe it, and we better also do our part to enact it. For instance, if I'm going to declare that my prayers for my family are working, I better be praying for my family. Amen. And I better make sure I'm praying persistently, and I better make sure I'm praying believing. Again, if I'm praying for my family, I better be praying believing. Because in Mark 11, 23 and 24, Jesus says, "Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes in what he says is going to happen, it will be granted to him. Therefore I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you've received them, and they will be granted to you." Now I have to admit, and probably most of you are in the same place as me, I would have an awful hard time believing that I could speak to a mountain and throw it in the sea. And if I don't believe it, I might as well not bother praying for it.
That's right.
So if we don't truly believe that God was going to do what we ask, whether it's moving that mountain or whether it's helping our families, then it's better for us to be honest with God, like the father of the epileptic boy in Mark 9:24, and say, "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief." That's okay. That's okay if we're honest with God, if we need help with our unbelief. James 1:5-8 says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But he must ask in faith, without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that person ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord. Being a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways." And see, if we're double-minded, it doesn't necessarily mean we're thinking bad things, but it means that we're not really sure who we should believe, whether we should believe God or our circumstances. And if we doubt and if we're fearful, then it means that actually we believe more in that thing that we don't want than in the thing that we do, and the thing that God wants for us. Today we're going to look at a scriptural example. From 1 Samuel 17, starting at verse 31, a scriptural example of the positive effect of making declarations. 1 Samuel 17, starting at verse 31. And when the words that David spoke were heard, they informed Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, "May no one's heart fail on account of him. Your servant will go and fight this Philistine." But Saul said to David, "You're not able to go against this Philistine to fight him, for you are only a youth, while he's been a warrior since his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant was tending his father's sheep when a lion or a bear came and took a sheep from the flock. I went out after it and attacked it and rescued the sheep from its mouth. And when it rose up against me, I grabbed it by its mane and struck it and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, since he has defied the armies of the living God." And David said, "The Lord who saved me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, he will save me from the hand of this Philistine." So Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." Then Saul clothed David with his military attire and put a bronze helmet on his head and outfitted him with armor. And David strapped on the sword over his military attire and struggling and walking, for he had not trained with these. So David said to Saul, "I cannot go with these because I've not trained with them." And David took them off, and he took his staff and in his hand, and he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook, and he put them in his shepherd's bag, which he had. That is in his shepherd's pouch, and his sling was in his hand as he approached the Philistine. Then the Philistine came and approached David with a shield bearer in front of him. When the Philistine looked and saw David, he was contemptuous of him, for he was only a youth, reddish and handsome in appearance. So the Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you come at me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by its gods. And the Philistine also said to David, "Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the sky and the wild animals." But David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword and a spear and a saber, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of armies, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I will strike you and remove your head from you. Then I will give the dead bodies of the army of the Philistines this day to the birds of the sky and the wild animals of the earth, so that all of the earth may know that there's a God in Israel, and that this entire assembly may know that the Lord does not save by sword or spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will hand you over to us." Then it happened, when the Philistine came closer to meet David, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine, and he put his hand into his bag and took from it a stone and slung it and struck the Philistine in the forehead, and the stone penetrated his forehead, and he fell on his face to the ground. It's a familiar story, a familiar account. And a lot of times, because of the great victory that David won, not only over Goliath, but that the Israelites won over the entire Philistine army, it's easy to kind of overlook the power of the declarations that David made. Remember, Saul said that David wouldn't be able to go against Goliath. But David declared, "When a lion or a bear came and took a sheep from the flock, I went out after it and attacked it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, since he's defied the armies of the living God." He declared, "The Lord who saved me from the paw of the lion and the bear, he will save me from the hand of the Philistines." Goliath said, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? Come to me and I'll give your flesh to the birds of the sky and to wild animals." But David declared, "You come with a sword and a spear and a saber, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of armies, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you've defied, this day I will hand, the Lord will hand you over to me, and I will strike you and remove your head. David didn't focus on Goliath. He focused on the God that was bigger than Goliath. He focused and declared what he believed God would do. He didn't change God's mind about the situation or the circumstance, but he came into alignment with God's plan. First by declaring, but then by doing it, by walking in it. He believed in a God bigger than any giant. What about us? You know, we've talked often about the reality that it's one thing to declare the truth, one thing to say you believe, but sometimes it's more difficult to walk in that truth when things get difficult, when stuff in your life gets real, when there's a mountain standing in your way or a giant before you. I want to share something about this account or this encounter with David and Goliath that was written by Francis Frangipane. It's titled Goliath Had a Brother. And he writes this: in a battle against sickness, oppression, or struggle, you seek God and the grace of God touches your life. Your victory is through a word or a prayer or encouragement, but you absolutely know that the Lord delivered you. With 5 stones of divine grace, you defeated your Goliath. But then all the old symptoms suddenly return with a vengeance. If you were struggling with an illness, it manifests worse than ever. If your battle was regarding a relationship or a particular sin, it seems as though all progress has been lost. You're back to square one. Have you ever been there? Negative experiences drain the faith from your heart. You lose the anticipation and the power of faith. A spiritual paralysis immobilizes your soul. You still attend church, but your faith is unresponsive. When others testify of deliverance, you worry that they too will lose their healing. For many, the result is faith-shaking delusionment. Proverbs 13:12 says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. Heart sickness is a spiritual disease that cripples your walk with God. Faith is the substance of things you hope for. If you lose hope, your faith becomes hollow. How can you trust God when it seems he let you down? You wonder, did I lose my breakthrough? Or was I only deceiving myself and never really had it? What you're experiencing is not a loss of God's blessing, but an entirely new spiritual battle. This new war is a very clever and effective deception that Satan uses to try and worm his way back into the lives of those delivered by God. Praying about this recurring battle, the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart, Goliath had a brother. I was reminded of David's war against the Philistine giant. David became a great hero by trusting God and defeating Goliath. Things changed in 2 Samuel 21. Remember, the first account was from 1 Samuel 17. In 2 Samuel 21, it says, now when the Philistines were at war again with Israel, David went down and his servants with him, and they fought against the Philistines. David became weary. Then Ishbi-benob, who was among the descendants of the giant, intended to kill David. But Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, helped him and struck the Philistine and killed him. Years after David had conquered Goliath as a lad, after he became king, he had to face other giants. 1 Chronicles 25 reveals that at least one of those warring against David was the brother of Goliath, and 4 were his children. These giants, being Goliath's kin, might have looked like Goliath, boasted like him, dressed like him, even smelled like him. The scripture says that while they were fighting the descendants of Goliath, David became weary. The Bible is silent as to what occurred in the king's mind as he battled these giants. Perhaps he wondered, I thought I killed Goliath. What's he doing back? But Goliath had not come back. He was dead. David was actually fighting the giant's kin. It just looked like the same battle. You also had many successful victories. Just because the giant you look in the face looks like the one you defeated in the past, do not accept that lie that you never really won the first battle. By the strength of God's grace, you trusted the Almighty and conquered your Goliath. The first giant is dead. Satan is masquerading as your former enemy so he can slip past your shield of faith and thus again gain entrance into your life. Resist him. Do not accept the lie that you were never delivered. Stand in faith. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. The living God who helped you conquer Goliath will empower you to overcome his brother as well. I think that's a powerful message for all of us, because we do run in these cycles in life where we think we've overcome and then we see the battle resurface. Look again at what it says about David's encounter with the relatives of Goliath. Now, when the Philistines were at war with Israel, David went down and his servants with him, and they fought against the Philistines, and David became weary. But Abishai helped him and struck the Philistine and killed him. You know, there'll be times in all of our lives that we become weary in our battles. And that's when others in this body, like Abishai, can come along and help us. Romans 12, 10 through 15 says, "Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor, not lagging behind in diligence. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep." You know, we have to be careful, though, as we stand with others and we bear their burdens and we're interceding for them. If you look at it in the natural realm, counselors and psychologists are often the people that deal with other people's problems, the people that counsel and take on those burdens. They often have a tremendously high burnout rate. And the same can be true of intercessors, those who stand in the gap for others. In Galatians 6, 2 through 5, it says, "Bear one another's burdens, and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks that he is something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. But each one must examine his own work, and then he will have reason for boasting, but to himself alone and not to another. For each one will bear his own load." So we're supposed to bear one another's burdens, but each one will bear his own load. So even as we bear the burdens of others, we can't carry the full load of their difficulties. In Matthew 27 to 36, this is something that the Lord gave me some time ago about what we need to do as intercessors, what we need to do as those who bear other people's burdens. It says, "Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole Roman cohort to him. And they stripped him and they put on a red cloak on him. And after twisting together a crown of thorns, they put on his head and put a reed in his right hand. And they knelt down before him and mocked him, saying, 'Hail, King of the Jews.' And they spit on him. And they took the reed and they beat him on the head. And after they mocked him, they took the cloak off of him and they put his own garments back on him. And they led him away to crucify him. And they were coming out, and they found a man of Cyrene named Simon, who they compelled to carry his cross. And when they came to the place of the called Golgotha, which means place of the skull, they gave him wine mixed with bile to drink. And after tasting it, he was unwilling to drink it. And when they had crucified him, they divided his garments among themselves." What I want you to hear in that is Simon was called on to help Jesus to bear the weight of the cross. Jesus had been beaten. His human physical body was unable to carry that cross. But only Jesus could bear the weight of the sins of the world on the cross. When we bear the burdens of others, we need to carry them only to the cross. And there we need to turn them over. We need to lay them down. Because only Jesus can bear the load. We can't bear their sickness, their sin, or their tribulation. If we try, it'll become too heavy for us. This is something especially true and difficult for parents with their children, or for families, or for friends. But the thing is, we don't need to bear anyone's burdens, because on the cross, Jesus said, "It is finished." You see, he already bore every burden for every one of us. And you know, that's perhaps the most powerful declaration we can make. No matter what mountain is in our way, or what giant or group of giants stands before us, we can declare that it's finished in the cross. So let's join that together and say, Lord, thank you for the cross. Thank you for the finished work. I declare to every giant and every mountain that stands in my way that it is finished. In Jesus' name. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift his face up to you and give you peace. Go in his peace.
Thanks for taking the time to listen. We're glad that what the Lord is doing among us encourages you. For more info about the church, follow us on Facebook or connect with us on Instagram. Visit dwellatthewell.com or come out and see us on a Sunday morning, 228 Ridge Avenue, Satterton, Pennsylvania.
Digging a well in the valley of my weeping. I'm digging a well in my tears. I'm digging a well.